Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Everybody's going to be doing the nature dance later today. I'm sorry about that. So, and we are a little bit dumber for watching these every week, but as you can tell, we are in the middle of a series called Help, Thanks, and Wow. And actually, today's the third week of it. We're actually completing this series. And what this series has been, it's really been on life, but it's been more even kind of focused a little bit more on prayer. And I think it's really given us an incredible start to 2017. Because there's nothing like prayer. There's nothing like fasting even as well. And as a church, we kind of challenge you to pray every single day for the month of January. Pray for each other, pray for the church, pray for the community, pray for your families. We challenge you to pray every single day. And then we also threw out kind of a challenge for you to fast as well. Fast one day a week. And I think God's doing some incredible things through these prayer and fasting. And again, what fasting is when we give up something. And then during that time that we would do that, we actually focus in on God. A lot of times what we fast food. So, and when we do that, really, those hunger pains, those side pains that you get when you get really angry, it should remind us to go back to God. I think fasting is one of those funny things. I said it last week, but it's not like it makes you more spiritual. In fact, oftentimes it kind of like makes you less spiritual because it brings all those bad things that are deep down inside that you can usually push down and hide that come out when you're hungry. Like the hangriness on us all really just gets us to that point where we know that we have to rely on God more. And that's kind of what fasting is. And I want to challenge you to finish out the month of January strong. If you made a commitment to fast one day a week, keep on going. If you didn't and you want to jump on right now, you can do that. There's only a few weeks left, so it's a good time to jump on, right? But fast a day a week, and I think there's something to that. There's something to praying and fasting. Because really, it connects us with God in an incredible way. Through this series, what we've learned is that the greatest connection we have with God is through prayer. In fact, that's the main point for this whole series. Prayer connects us with God. And we've been learning that there's so many things that we can pray for. There's so many things that we need to pray about. And really, each one of those items is something that connects us with God. And one of the main passages of Scripture that we looked at is Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And it says this. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. What they're saying is pray about everything, right? And everything we do, in every situation, we need to go to God and we need to ask help for Him. We need to ask Him for the help that we need. Then we need to give thanks for everything that God's doing. We need to give thanks for everything that God's done. And we even need to give thanks and praise for everything that God is going to do as well. And then we're going to experience the wow factor, right? The wow factor of God's peace that exceeds anything we can understand. This is really what this series is about. We're simplifying the puzzle of prayer in our lives by breaking it down to three categories: help, thanks, and wow. Again, in the first week, if you were here, we learned that we need to surrender to God. When we ask God for help, what we're doing is we are fully surrendering to Him. And we learned that when we surrender, God responds. And then last week, we talked about giving thanks in all areas of our lives, especially in our prayer life. And we learned that a heart of gratitude brings a sense of perspective. And today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about being in awe of God. The wow factor, right? And just so we're on the same page here, let's look at what the wow factor looks like. Let's look at what being in awe looks like. So if you want to check out this quick video right here.
Oh. Hey, this is so scrumptious. Is this hand shucked?
Would you like some more chicken, Bob?
Mmm. Delicious.
Will you stop that, please?
All right. Well, hey, that's from the 1991 classic, What About Bob? So now your Sunday afternoon is planned, so you can Netflix it or whatever you're going to do now, right? But how many of you know a Bob in your life, right? Most likely you probably do, like somebody who gets so excited about everything, right? And chances are it's probably a little kid too, right? Little kids, they seem to respond this way more to things. Like my son Griffin, he's 3 years old and he's crazy if you've ever met him before, right? But this is how he is. When he wakes up, he is ready to roll. Like from the moment he gets out of bed, his foot hits the ground, he like sprints to do everything. Like it's a dead sprint to the bathroom. Then he goes to use the bathroom and he's like, Mom, Dad, I went pee. That's my Griffin voice. Basically, it has to be a little higher and it has to be above any normal talking voice. That's him. So he runs there, goes, he's like, Mom, Dad, I went pee. We're like, great, man. Then he sprints back to his room and he throws on, he starts, like, get your clothes on. He sprints back to his room, he gets his socks on. Mom, Dad, I got my socks on. I'm looking at him, I'm like, dude, get the rest of your clothes on too, right? And he gives us this play-by-play every single morning of what he's doing. It's like he's done this. This is like the first time he's ever done this before, but it's over and over every single day. He gets so excited about things. And the truth is, this is how we're created, though. See, you are created to be fully present and to live in awe of your Creator, never being dulled to wonder. In fact, that's what I want you to walk away with. You get nothing else, get this. You were created to be fully present and to live in awe of your Creator, never being dulled to wonder. I think many of us, though, I think at one point in our lives, we were probably like my son Griffin, right? When we were little kids, we were full of wonder. We were full of awe. We had this unlimited curiosity. We wanted to see everything. We wanted to touch everything. We wanted to feel everything. We wanted to smell everything. We wanted to taste everything. This is why little kids put rocks in their mouth. They want to taste it, right? Because to them, it's incredible. But unfortunately, I think as the older we get, I think we kind of forget this. We kind of grow out of this almost, right? As we experience life, we get dulled to wonder. We lose that zeal, that excitement that we had as a kid. And really, I think it happens to each and every one of us. I think in our lives, we become less like Bob in the show, and we become more like Dr. Leo Marvin, where it's frustrating when somebody does that. It's almost awkward when we see people getting so excited about life, because to us, nothing really impresses us anymore. Everything we see is either overhyped or oversold. We're almost conditioned to think this way. We're conditioned to be skeptical. We're conditioned to be indifferent. We're conditioned to be critical, if not even cynical in our lives. Truth is, we don't want to get let down, so we never show enthusiasm about anything because we're overloaded. We're overloaded with experiences. We're overloaded with data. We're overloaded with information. We think we know everything about everything. But what happens is we end up losing our curiosity. We lose our passion. We lose that sense of awe. And I think it happens to all of us. It happens in our lives. But it also happens in our faith. It also happens in our prayer lives as well. I think sometimes our prayers move from being expressions of faith and wonder at really who God is, more to some indifferent mutterings full of skepticism. And maybe you can relate with that feeling. Maybe that's where you find yourself today. Think about it. And let me ask you, in your journey to grow closer to God, have you ever forgotten just how big He is? Have you ever forgotten or maybe even gone blind to the reality of how amazing He is, of how awesome He truly is? I think it's easy for us to do this, and I found myself there many times. Again, I'm preaching to myself today, because I think one minute we can experience God in a way that's absolutely mind-blowing, and then the very next minute, we question if He's even there. We question if He even cares. And this is really where we find Elijah at. Through this series, we've been talking about this guy named Elijah, right? So if you have your Bibles, you can go there to 1 Kings. And today we're going to read chapter 18, verses 17 through 40. And again, if you don't have a Bible, I would challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. It's an incredible resource that you can take with you wherever you go. There's reading plans, there's devotionals, and you can even friend other people with it so they can keep you accountable. Like, it's amazing to see all these people that are a friend of me and how much they're reading the Bible. The truth is, we have to read the Bible every single day, not just on a Sunday morning, right? So if you have your Bibles, though, go with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. And if you remember from week one, we learned that Elijah was a great prophet. He was a guy that was connected to God in this amazing way. And he prayed these incredible prayers that really should have made him sit back and wonder. Elijah prayed a prayer that stopped it from raining, and it caused a drought for over 3 years. Elijah prayed a prayer that brought a dead boy back to life. And once again, you see here today, what we're going to look through is that God answered Elijah's prayers in some incredible ways. So check out verse 17. It says, when he saw Elijah, he asked, "Is it you, the biggest troublemaker in Israel?" And Elijah answered, "I've not made trouble in Israel. You and your father's family have made all this trouble by not obeying the Lord's commands. You have gone after the Baals. Now tell all Israel to meet me at Mount Carmel. Also, bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who will eat at Jezebel's table." So here's Elijah, right? He's having this conversation with King Ahab. King Ahab was actually the king of Israel during that time. Continues on in verse 20. It says, "So Ahab called all the Israelites and those prophets to Mount Carmel. Elijah approached the people and said, 'How long will you not decide between two choices? If the Lord is the true God, follow him. But if Baal is the true God, follow him.' But the people said nothing." Here's Elijah, and he's basically throwing the gauntlet down, right? He's setting the stage up for God to do this incredible work because Elijah knows that God is about to show up. Verse 22, it says, "Elijah said, 'I'm the only prophet of the Lord here, but there are 450 prophets of Baal. Bring two bulls. Let the prophets of Baal choose one bull and kill it and cut it into pieces. Then let them put the meat on the wood, but they are not to set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull, putting the meat on the wood, but not setting fire to it. You prophets of Baal, pray to your God, and I will pray to the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to his wood is the true God.' And all the people agreed that this was a good idea." So here's Elijah, right? He's laying out this challenge. He says, here it is. And then the other prophets and the Israelites, they say, "Challenge accepted." So here's really the terms for this challenge. And then it says, "Then Elijah said to the prophet of Baal, 'There are many of you, so you go first. Choose a bowl and prepare it. Pray to your God, but don't start the fire.' So they took the bowl that was given to them and prepared it. They prayed to Baal from morning until noon, shouting, 'Baal, answer us.' But there was no sound, and no one answered. They danced all around the altar that they had built." Here's these prophets, right? They started in the morning, and they're praying for hours upon hours. Then they start doing these dances. Like, they're pulling out all the punches, doing everything they can to get their God to answer, and nothing. And this is where it kind of gets funny. At least it's kind of funny to me. Elijah talks a little trash here. It says, "At noon, Elijah began to make fun of them. He says, 'Pray louder,' he said. 'If Baal really is a god, maybe he's thinking or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping, so you have to wake him.' The prophets prayed louder, cutting themselves with swords and spears until blood flowed," which is the way they worshiped. "The afternoon passed. The prophets continued to act like this until it was time for the evening sacrifice, but no voice was heard. Baal did not answer, and no one paid attention." Here's Elijah, and he's mocking them, right? He's talking trash to them. Now, I don't know if this is a good thing. In fact, I'd probably argue it's not, but it's still kind of funny if you look at it. And then the other prophets, they respond by even praying harder. Then they go to the next level and begin cutting themselves with a sword. Listen, if we ever cut ourselves with a sword here, you should just walk out because it's a little weird, right? Like, it's obviously a little bit different. It's entertaining for a little bit, right? But it's probably not right. And this is what the people were seeing. And by evening time, they're bored with it. Like, you can only watch someone cut themselves for so long, I guess. So they're bored with this. And check out what Elijah does. It says, "Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Now come to me.' So they gathered around him, and Elijah rebuilt the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one stone for each of the 12 tribes, the number of Jacob's sons. The Lord changed Jacob's name to Israel. Then Elijah used the stones to rebuild the altar in honor of the Lord. Then he dug a ditch around the altar that was big enough to hold about 13 quarts of seed. Then Elijah put the wood on the altar, cut the bowl into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, 'Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the meat and on the wood.' And then Elijah said, 'Do it again.' And they did it again. Then he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time so that the water ran off the altar and filled the ditch. Think about this. Here they are in the middle of a drought. And Elijah's saying, hey, pour some water on this altar, right? Like water is probably something not really easy to come by, but he just uses it like it's nothing. And he soaks this pile, not once, not twice, but three times, so much so that the water was actually running off the wood. It was drenched and it filled the ditch that he dug. And it goes on, it says, at the time of the evening sacrifice, the prophet Elijah went near the altar. Lord, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, he prayed. Prove that you are the God of Israel and that I'm your servant. Show these people that you commanded me to do all these things. Lord, answer my prayer so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you will change their minds. I think it's super interesting here. Elijah spent more time preparing the altar than he actually did praying. Like that's a whole other sermon, but I just wanted to kind of look at that and like make that as a point to think about, right? Then in verse 38 it says, then fire from the Lord came down and burned the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the ground around the altar. It also dried up the water in the ditch. And when all the people saw this, they fell down to the ground crying, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. The people saw this and they were in awe. They fell down crying, right? But it doesn't say anything really about Elijah. Because if you look at Elijah, what was his next step? It was business as usual. And verse 40 says, then Elijah said, capture the prophets of Baal. Don't let any of them run away. The people captured all the prophets. Then Elijah led them down to the Kishon Valley where he killed them. And this is an incredible story. Like, this is God doing some incredible things. God showed up big time, right? God showed up in a way that should have been like awestruck, should have left Elijah on his knees. He showed up huge. But Elijah just went on, right? He went on and killed the rest of the false prophets. He didn't take really step back and look at what was happening. And if you remember from week one of the series, just a chapter later, just a few moments later, we see where Elijah's at. He's at this point where he's really suicidal. He's at this point where he's begging God just to end it, right? He's depressed. He's completely finished with everything. How could he get to that point when this just happened, right? How could he get to that point of depression when God just showed up like this? I think what happened is the miraculous work of God almost became routine to Elijah. He was dulled to the wonder of what God was really doing. Again, he was talking trash. Why? Because he knew that God was going to show up. These last two verses, I think, are so interesting. Again, in verse 39, it says the people fell down to the ground crying, and they were in awe, right? They were amazed by what God was doing. They had been struck by wonder. They had this awareness of how big God truly was and how really was. But for Elijah, it was just business as usual because he knew it was going to happen. So he didn't take time to sit back and wonder. And again, in verse 19, it had an effect on him. Chapter 19, you see him where it had an effect on him. He was crying out to make his life end. And here's what I think we can learn from Elijah. A lack of wonder leads to depression. A lack of wonder leads to depression. And really, I think this is where we find ourselves sometimes, right? Many of us maybe feel like our prayer life is dry or dead because we really don't have wonder. We lack this awe of who God truly is. Many times we don't see miracles as miracles anymore. We see them as commonplace. Many times we don't stop just to experience his goodness. It's like we're almost too familiar with it where we just overlook it. This happens in our prayers, but I think it even happens in our lives as well. And this familiarity, it breeds contempt. Contempt in all parts of our life. I mean, think about even simple things like food. Listen, I like food, I'm not gonna lie. But think about food, right? Instead of being amazed by all these different types of food that are available, so many times we look at the calories, we look at things to complain about, we look at all these things, and we just see it as just something there. But God's done some incredible things with that. The same thing with our families. Instead of being in awe of our family and how God's put different people in our places and in our lives in this incredible way, so many times we just take them for granted. We show them this disapproval because oftentimes they don't do exactly what we want when they want. We do this in our workplaces. We do this in our friendships. We do this in our marriages as well. It's really a lack of wonder. If I think about it, like the day I asked my wife Sarah to marry me and she said yes, like I knew that was a miracle. Like if you know her and you know me, you know that that's a miracle. The fact we wake up every day next to each other is a miracle. But when time goes by, we take that for granted, right? The fact is, life is a miracle in itself. But I think so many times we just overlook it. And it leads to depression. It leads to frustration. It leads to us really not even being that happy. It leads to really busyness. This busyness that keeps us from experiencing God. I've said this before. It's a common statement, but I love it. The truth is, if Satan can't make you bad, he will make you busy. If Satan can't make you bad, he will make you busy. He's going to make you so busy that you don't experience God. He'll make you so busy that the wow factor is just looked over, right? Because that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to disconnect us from God. He wants to steal that sense of awe we should have every time we interact with God and every time we experience God. He did it to Elijah and it led to depression. And he would do it to each and every one of us. Because he knows that you were created to be fully present and to live in awe of your Creator, never being dulled to wonder. What's incredible, though, is when we grasp this concept, when we understand this, we experience God in a remarkable way. When we understand that we were created to be present and to live in awe of our Creator, we do just that. We live in awe. We experience miraculous and amazing things when our hearts are full of wonder. Think about what this would look like in your life. Maybe there's an area in your life where you kind of let become mundane. Maybe there's an area in your life where maybe you just rush through it. The truth is, you're missing out. You're missing out on the awesomeness of God. Maybe there's a part of your prayer life where you're selling God short because you're not in awe of what he can do. I think when we feel like when we get closer to God, the more we understand about it, right? We feel like when we get closer to God, the more we have figured out, but it's really just the opposite. The truth is, the closer we get to God, the bigger, the more mysterious, the more awesome he becomes to us. And we just need to sit back and experience that. So how do we live this out? How do we pray like this? Like, what are our action steps that we can take with us so that we sit back and experience God and all his awesomeness? I think first thing is we need to wait. Sometimes in our life, to be in awe, to experience the wonder of God, we just need to wait. Instead of moving on to the next big thing, maybe we just need to wait, right? In our prayer lives, instead of powering through and just reading through our whole entire list, instead of stating everything that we need, maybe we just need to wait on something. Maybe there's an area that we just need to stay right there and wait for God to respond. If one prayer is not answered, we don't change our prayer, try to manipulate God, say, okay, maybe God, you can do this for me, right? No. Sometimes we just need to wait. We need to stop. We need to stop trying to move everything forward ourselves and let God work. We need to stop trying to figure out all the details, right? We need to stop talking sometimes, and we just need to wait and listen. In Psalms 27:14, it says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Because this places us in a position of wonder. This places us in a position to be in awe of how incredible God is. I'm going to be honest with you, though. I'm starting off with like the toughest action step right off the bat, right? Because if you're anything like me, like you're allergic to the word wait. Like you just hear the word and it just makes you cringe. Like some of you guys are like, I don't want to wait. Like, come on, like. That's how I am. Like, I can't stand waiting. Can't stand waiting in traffic. I can't stand waiting in line at the grocery store. I can't stand waiting in line for food. Like, I'll just leave a restaurant. And there's a line. I'm like, nope, I'm out. Let's go somewhere else, right? But that's the fleshy part of me, right? That's the sinful part of me. That's Satan trying to get me so busy that I miss out on experiencing God. Sometimes we just need to wait. And sometimes that's all we can do. That's all God's called us to do. We need to wait. And it starts in our prayer life. Second thing is observe. The definition of observe is actually pretty interesting to me. To observe means to notice or perceive something and register it as being significant. Register it as being significant. I think too many times we don't register things in our lives as being significant. I think we just downplay everything, right? We just move past things like it's not a big deal. We move too quickly, and we don't really look at the value of things, and we miss out. Truth is, we need to slow down and observe things in our lives. And to observe doesn't mean that we need more facts and figures. It means that we need to have our hearts overwhelmed with the wonder of His presence. So my challenge for you is in your prayers, in your life, spend some time observing the goodness of God. If you remember last week, I challenged you to write things down that you're grateful for. Write those down, but then go back and observe them. Observe the answered prayers. Observe the prayers that were answered with a yes. Observe the prayers that were even answered with a no. Observe the prayers that you're still waiting for. Take some time and observe what God has done. Take some time to observe what God is doing. It's really the reason we're here today anyways, right? We're called to observe. In Exodus 31, 12 through 14, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you.'" It's a command for us, right? And it's really less about the day, but it's more about the time. It's more about the time that we give to God to let Him be God in our lives. God requires us to take some time to observe His goodness, to observe His promises. And when we do that, we're made holy, because what we're doing is we're observing the work of Jesus in our life, right? Jesus came, lived a perfect life for each and every one of us, died on a cross for the penalty that we all deserve, but was risen again to give us new life. And when we step back and observe that, what we're doing is we're experiencing the wonder and the awesomeness of who God truly is. We need to take some time to observe. Even tonight, we have prayer from 6 to 7. What we do is we have an hour time slot where we just throw some music on, we throw some slides up, but really it's an hour slot where you can just observe how good God has been in your life. There's childcare even. I'd encourage you to come just to experience that and to take that time to observe God in your life. The last one is worry not. Now, I could have just said don't worry, right? But you could tell it's kind of feeling a little creative this week. Check out what our action steps spell. Wow. You guys are like, wow. Good job, Corbin. Again, part of our prayer is simply saying wow. And prayer, if you look at prayer, it's so much more than just an action where we state our worries. Prayer is an action that transforms our worries into trust. If you go back to our main verse in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Again, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Again, worry not, but pray about everything. And then that prayer will transform those worries into God's peace. That prayer will transform that worry into trust. And it will allow you to be awestruck. It will allow you to be amazed beyond comprehension. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6. It says, in verse 25 through 34, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Stop worrying. Let's stop worrying and stand in awe of what God can truly do. Let's be in wow of our Creator and our prayer lives and all parts of our lives as well. There's a great quote by a famous golfer in the early 1900s, Walter Hagen. He said this. He says, "You're only here for a short while. Don't hurry, don't worry, and be sure to smell the flowers along the way." If we live this out, we'll never be dulled to wonder. You were created to be fully present and to live in awe of your Creator, never being dulled to wonder. This is what this series has been about. It's been about the simplicity of prayer. I think too many times we get carried away with the words and how we even pray, that we forget the simplicity of just connecting with God through simple prayer. Jesus said that we need to have faith like a child. Children live their lives full of wonder. Children live their lives full of awe. They're curious, right? Let's do that in our lives as well. When was the last time the awesomeness of God just blew your mind? What if your prayer life for the every single day for the next 30 days was simply wow? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, God. We thank you for today, God. We thank you that we can stand in awe of you. God, we thank you for speaking to us, God. God, we thank you that you created us to experience the wonder of who you truly are. God, we ask that you help us to experience that, to never be dulled to that wonder, God. God, help us to live that out every single day, God. God, help us to wait on you in the areas where you've called us to wait. God, help us to observe all the things that you've done and all the things that you're doing as well. And God, help us worry not. God, help us to experience the wow factor of who you are. God, change our lives through our actions and through our prayers today, God. God, we ask that you will be with us, God. We go before you in every way, God, and we ask help, God. God, we ask that you will allow us to surrender to you, God. And God, we then move us to the place where we are completely grateful for everything you've done. And God, let us experience that wow. God, we love you and we thank you. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.